coming to you from the U.S. and streaming all over the world. This is Shotgun Sports USA. Get accurate, reliable information in every single episode. With interviews from the best shooters in the game, the best gun clubs across the globe, and industry-leading companies that revolutionize the sport. Find us online at ShotgunSportsUSA.com. Shotgun Sports USA is driven by Beretta, the number one choice of champions. Also brought to you by Cole Gunsmithing, Rick Hemingway's Pramatic Trap Sales, Castellani USA and Ultimate Shooting Accessories, Soundgear Phantom, Clay Target Vision, and Clay Shooter Supply. Welcome to the show.
My guest this week has been on before, but has accomplished a lot since then. He gained his American citizenship, made Team USA for the first time as an alternate. He took third at World Fee Task and now owns and operates a gun club. This guy's been busy, to say the least. Please welcome to the show, Nick Berry. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Justin. Always a pleasure being here with you. Thank you for the opportunity again.
Yeah, you've been a busy guy since the last time you were on here. I mean, you're traveling everywhere. You're building things everywhere. You're going places. What have you been up to?
Different things. So I'd say first of all, the most important thing that I've done, probably one of the most important things in my life, I became a U.S. citizen last year in February. Oh. That was a big thing. Very, very honored and very proud to become an American and about a couple of weeks ago to represent the country abroad. So that's a big, big thing. So that's the main thing that happened in the last couple of years that we haven't talked on the show.
Yeah.
We also took over a gun club near Boise in Idaho. So we started operating it about 13 months ago and purchased the property and the club in December. So same, a lot of work building something from ground up pretty much because, you know, of COVID and ammo situation, etc. The club had been closed for 2 years. But no, it's very exciting, and with all the support we get from customers, students, friends, companies, sponsors, etc., we've been doing pretty well. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that in just a second. I want to dive into that gun club and how you got to doing that. I was, before I have you on, I always like to look at the internet before I have somebody on to see if there's anything new, to see if something is, if they've won something that I missed or whatever it is. But with you, you always have to go to YouTube, right? So
pretty much, yeah.
I mean, you go to YouTube, you find anything you want to know about Nick. But anyway, I looked on your YouTube channel and the videos just from being overseas, okay, the World Championship videos, they've had 121,000 views combined. Did you know that?
No, I follow it, but not, on a daily base, and but I know a lot of people have been reaching out and saying, oh, that's awesome, that video, etc. So
yeah,
I was like, cool. And actually the last video of the shoot off that has the most views is actually Fred Finisi who recorded the whole shoot off because I was on the other side of the camera.
Ah, I didn't know that either. Okay, so you had 121,000 views on those five or six videos, however many it is. And then I got to looking even more, and what's crazier is that your channel as a whole has had 5.1 million views. That is crazy.
Yeah. And that's kind of, I think we briefly talked about it last time we talked on the show, but a question I get a lot from young shooters or novice shooters is like, how do we get sponsored? And you know, I kind of tell them my story, and you need to bring something to the table for the company that you want to represent. And when you're not up there, when you don't have the results that, you know, the big champions have, you try to bring something else to the table. Communication is definitely something that that sponsors are looking for from their sponsored shooters. Sometimes, you know, it's in the contract and they kind of try to push that, but sometimes, you know, it comes more naturally from the sponsored athletes. And so that's really how I came into the sponsored shooter world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like the podcast. I mean, it's anything media related, they like, you know, they like their name out there.
Yeah.
So
no, it's completely, you know, one is video, the other one is sound, but it's completely the same thing. And you're doing a great job. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of companies supporting you. So, but as you know, it's a lot of work as well.
It is. It is.
It's not like, you know, something easy. You throw that. It's quite a commitment and time spent to make it better and make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you shoot. I think you shoot every place in the whole world. I don't know if there's a place you hadn't been to. I mean, I'm being a little sarcastic, but I mean, you've been all over the place. And
yeah, I've been lucky to travel to, yeah. You know, starting shooting in Europe. I travel through Europe a lot. I got a chance to go to to Nadal Feba, and then this year, Fujairah, and then, you know, Northern America, Canada, Mexico, obviously the U.S. So I've seen a lot of clubs. I've been fortunate about that, with that, and you know, I'm also able to combine that with kind of family vacation and my wife Kat, who's like, she's my rock behind the scene and does everything that you guys don't see in terms of photos, videos. Running the whole company, etc. And she's like, yeah, basically we never have vacation without shooting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to say that your life revolves around a shotgun, really. And most of the time you see your family with your son, your wife, and y'all are having a good time laughing and joking and whatever you're doing. How much easier is that knowing that they're with you on this journey, so to speak?
It's a lot easier. You know, I think to shoot at the level we're all trying to shoot at, it's important to have a balance between your professional life, your private life, and you know, competing at that level. I know, you know, just to talk with some of the top guys, tell me, you know, after spending 3-4 days far from the family, they, you know, there's definitely a lack, and so when there's an emotional lack, then you don't compete at your highest potential. So it's been very a lot easier competing with them around, and plus now my son Ethan, who's 10, turning 11 in a couple of months, he starts competing everywhere as well. So, and he wants to shoot even more than me. So so that makes it even easier, because now we're both competing, and kind of Kat is kind of our manager behind the scenes.
Yeah, we've got a lot of kids coming up right now. You know, you got your son, and Brad kid's got his son.
They actually shot together and they had fun.
Did they? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of young kids coming up right now that should be some pretty amazing shooters once they have the coaching, and they have the guys that could help them get to where they want to get, as long as they stay with it, for sure. I mean,
and your son is shooting as well.
Yeah. Yeah. He started on the school team this year, and,
awesome.
And he's all in, and I think they're all shooting the same gun. I mean, I believe, you know, the 20 gauge.
I mean, you know, yes, I'm sponsored by Color, but you know, they know already that my son, until he's a grown man, he's not going to shoot anything else but a Beretta F400.
Yeah.
Because I believe, you know, for a kid or for a small size person, ladies, for example, it's an awesome gun. You know, it's cheap. It doesn't recoil. Yes, it doesn't look, you know, as fancy and nice as the gun I shoot, but it's a good gun. I can't say anything bad about it.
Yeah, breaks clays, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, definitely.
So you're talking about your Kohler sponsorship. I think that kind of took the shooting community. I think we kind of were shocked when we heard that. Not that it was anything bad by any means, but I was like, wow, you know, that's, I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been a very long, decision. I've been with Krinkov for 8 years and, you know, I've got anything but good things to say about the company, about the guns. And I still have a very good relationship with Phil Krinkov, with Dieter and Betty, with Alex and everybody over there. I mean, they're awesome people, great company and great guns. But I had been talking with Kohler and with Elite for a bit, you know, in this community. Everybody knows each other and appreciate a lot of people, if not everybody. And so we had been talking, you know, nothing like, oh, we want to, but, you know, with them, they've been, you know, asking me, you know, if I would be interested eventually. And well, you know, I'm still under contract, so there's no interest as long as I'm under contract. And you know, they offered me a good challenge, joining the team. And I'd say Derek Mine had been also, instrumental in me joining the team. He's been great, you know, helping with communication between the Elite, Kohler and myself.
Yep.
And Elite has been extremely, extremely helpful on the dealership side as well. So I'm a Elite sub dealer, and so I've got beautiful guns in the shop. And so you know, between the sponsorship package that Kohler made a huge effort to put on the table, plus the dealership that through Elite that we were able to touch. I mean, it was incredible with a gun that I tried and fell in love with. So, you know, when you have those three equations, mm-hmm. It's very easy to, even though, you know, sentimentally, you know, having been with Krinkov for 8 years, it was a, you know, pretty important decision. But no, extremely happy that I made the change. And I mean, I'm shooting that gun. So I went for the Kohler Max Light Sporting. I have a beautiful engraving with gold, and shooting it pretty well. So
yeah,
excited with what's got to come with it.
So you're talking about you sell the guns at your gun club, right?
Yes, all we right. are.
So you mentioned your gun club a second ago. I want to kind of talk about this for a second. You purchased this gun club, what, a year or two ago?
Yeah, in December. So
what
8 months ago.
What made you want to do that? Why did you want to say, okay, I want to buy a gun club, and I want to sit there and have to deal with that?
So, very good question, and I'll just tell you a little story. So I was based in Southern California. That's where Kat's family lives, and so we were living down in Southern California, Orange County. And so I was coaching a lot, 6-7 days a week. But I was not able to get all my customers in the same spot. So I was traveling a lot. And basically my house was not Southern California. That was hotels, airplanes, and moving everyone just to coach. And you know, what we talked about a bit earlier in the podcast is, you know, it was sentimentally tougher being away from the kids, from Cat, etc., being gone most of the time. I was like, you know what? I need a base. I need a base where we could be, and I would coach there, and we'd be home every evening. Mm-hmm. So we looked at different possibilities to get a gun club or to build a gun club. And you probably don't know that, but I opened escrow on a 640-acre property in Central California.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was actually near Bakersfield in Taft, and awesome place. It could be, you know, I had planned my background as a civil engineer and architect. I had everything drawn out, and everything was ready to roll. But, you know, I know it's California, so I was being very careful. So I got a walk-in study with biologists just to know where I was standing. Mm-hmm. And so they just did a little study, and out of 640 acres, they basically didn't find anything except one kangaroo rat and a blunt-head lizard. Yeah, and you can imagine. So they got back with that. So I'm like, okay, I'll see you with Fish and Wildlife. They're probably going to ask me to, you know, park them somewhere and fence it and put signs and et cetera, you know. But, you know, that if that's what I need to do, that's what I need to do.
Right.
So for those two little things, they wanted us to mitigate the whole property. 640 acres. So when I asked, you know, what I could do because I didn't have any other property, they say, yeah, you can buy acres, mitigated acres at a mitigation bank. Uh-huh. All right. What's the ratio? 1 for 5. So now I was at more than 3,000 acres that I need to mitigate. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So just for you to have an idea, I was buying the property for $1,000 an acre. So $640,000. But I had to buy through the mitigation bank 3,000 plus acres. And so I say, okay, perfect. What's the price of a mitigated acre? About $5,000.
God.
So buying a property $640,000, I had to put pretty much $15+ million on the table just to mitigate before even, you know, digging the first hole to start thinking about a foundation for the clubhouse.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that we got out of escrow and decided to look at other states to try to build something.
Yeah.
So we looked at all the red states, obviously.
Right.
Texas would have been awesome, but the properties are pretty expensive there. And then all of a sudden, you know, through all the researches that I've been doing on internet and with realtors, etc., I found this gun club, 320 acres, about 30 minutes from Boise in the hills, that were for sale. And the three gentlemen, the sellers, were in their mid to late 70s and had been putting the sweat and time in that, and COVID had come and the ammo situation in the US was pretty tough on them because they didn't have, you know, many connections. And I'm like, you know, that might be it. So we flew to Boise with Kat. It was on April 15th. Got to the club covered in snow. I'm like, great.
Wow.
that's interesting.
Yeah.
But when we saw the terrain, as you said earlier, you know, I've been to a lot of clubs in the US and in the world. I've been fortunate about that, and I've never seen a club with a terrain like that. And I'm like, that's it. Yeah, we need to go for that. So after a pretty fierce negotiation phase, we came to an agreement. And they were extremely elegant enough to allow us to lease the property during the escrow period just to have an idea of how business was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So then offer, I think, got approved on beginning of May last year. And on June 1st, we were here starting moving things around and getting everything ready because the club had been closed for 2 years. And we open, and we've been running the club for 13 months now.
Wow. Kind of describe it to me. I know you said it's good terrain, but describe everything else.
So elevation of the club is 4,500 feet. So that gives us a pretty nice temperature. We are usually about 5 to 10 degrees cooler than Boise. We're in the hills, in the rolling hills. So we've got about 100 feet cliff on top of us. We've got about 100 feet cliff, valleys down our feet. So we can really shoot everything we want. We've got three courses, green course that I keep for my novices or recreational shooters, then stations. We've got a blue course, which is more intermediate, what we're going to get at a regular monthly shoot here. I'd say equivalent to probably regional prelim. With 12 stations, and we've got our black course, which is 15 stations going up and down the cliff and in the valleys, and you shoot stuff like extreme, and I've got 15 stations with four traps, so there's a lot of target presentations. And you know, that terrain and all those potential target presentations combined with the fact that I've been lucky to travel and see a lot of target presentation all around the world. I've been setting targets more on the tougher side, which I know got some of the locals a bit scared and probably lost a bit of the local clientele, but have a lot of people traveling to the club to shoot those targets, just you know, to be able to work on those. For example, you know, Gavin, Karen, Joe Fanizzi, Ryan Holmes, Tom Duncan, they just came because they wanted to practice, you know, on European targets and big stuff, etc. And I do think that it definitely helped us shooting first international targets, and plus on terrain that it's probably the closest terrain you can find to what we shot in Hungary and England.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. I also talked when we're in Europe, I talked to my friend and coach, Anthony Matteries, and say, you know, maybe looking at the terrain and looking where we have the World Feet Task every year, except next year because it's in the U.S., but what are you seeing? Maybe you should come with me here, and maybe we should do a little training camp for Team USA before going abroad. They say, yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe we need to think about that and talk about it.
That'd be cool.
So, yeah, no, so very fortunate. I think, you know, definitely running a club, it's a lot more work. And I mean, it's 7 a.m. until 8, 9 p.m. every day. First, I coach 9 to 10 hours a day, plus, you know, running things around. Luckily, we have so Kat is in charge of everything that's inside clubhouse, guns, etc., sales, accounting, everything, communication. And we're fortunate to have a great manager, Greg, joined the team beginning of the year, and he's doing an awesome job. And so I'm able to rely on him a lot, you know, when traveling, when competing, etc. So he takes care of a lot of things here. So it's awesome, and it helped me definitely with my shooting.
What I was going to ask you next. Do you think that having this gun club helped you with your shooting as well?
There's no doubt.
Yeah,
there's no doubt. First, because you know, even though that's a lot of work, but I mean, practicing costs a lot less than when you at other clubs, obviously. And I'm setting the targets that I don't like.
Yeah.
So, like for instance, before going to Europe, not that I don't like them, but I knew we're going to have some. We shot hundreds of driven shots with international targets. I don't think there's a lot of other clubs in the U.S. where you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's been fun. It's been fun. And you know, for people, if people want to get a chance or an opportunity to come and visit and shoot it, et cetera, we're hosting the Idaho State Championship, on Father's Day next year, so in June. And I think there's already quite a few people from out of state wanting to come or registered already. So I think that's going to be fun. It's, you know, it's going to be challenging because that's our signature, but you'll have fun. Hospitality should be nice. Food should be good. And yeah, and you'll shoot some stuff that you probably, some targets for sure that you haven't had a chance to shoot much in the country.
That's cool. How do you get to your place? I know it's in Idaho, but where at? How do you get there?
So you fly to Boise. Yep. There's a pretty nice airport, we're 40 minutes from Boise Airport, and we're about 23 minutes from the closest nice hotels.
That's not far. That's good.
So no, it's pretty convenient.
Yeah. Let's talk about you going overseas and shooting this year for your first time on Team USA, right? So you go shoot World English, okay, in England. And then you head to Hungary to shoot World FITASC, and you finish third, man, third.
Yeah,
at World FITASC.
And so my goal, you know, ever since moving to the U.S. in 2016, you know, my goal was to become a U.S. citizen. Once you become a U.S. citizen, your points in the Team USA point race only count from the moment you become a citizen. Mm-hmm. So becoming a citizen in February last year, first I lost, you know, the couple of shoot that I shot before didn't count, but that's how it is. But there was no regional, so that was okay. But then the first time I was able to, I could, you know, theoretically become a Team USA member was only 2023, which I was able to achieve. You know, there's the quality of the shooters in the U.S. is pretty incredible. And I was out of the race, to be honest, before the Nationals. And I knew that if I wanted to have a slight chance into squeezing in, my only chance was to win the FITASC event at Nationals. I was lucky enough to be able to make it happen. And that allowed me to just close the door for Team USA as an alternate. And when you see who's on the team and who's at the door of the team, I feel very lucky about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Anthony, Zach, Gabon, and Dominic, you know, yeah, they definitely have their spot on Team USA, and, you know, you can't contest that.
Do you like shooting FITASC better than sporting?
I mean, starting shooting in Europe, I started with FITASC, so right. I feel very comfortable with FITASC. I practiced a lot because, you know, my goal was to try to make the FITASC team. Mm-hmm. So coming from Europe, and I think that's also the opinion of a lot of the guys that have been shooting internationally, I think the most prestigious competition in the world is the World FITASC. Not that the World English is not prestigious, but World English, you only have basically the English-speaking countries. You don't have Hungary, Italy, France, you know, all the other strengths of Spain, who have, like, incredible shooters as well. At World FITASC, you've got everybody.
Yeah.
So that was really my goal, and I'm extremely happy and lucky that I was able to achieve it in terms of being part of the team. There's always a tiny bit, you know, of a regret, I'd say, that we're not part of the team, but just alternate. Mm-hmm. But if you see it another way, it's like alternate, at least you don't have the pressure to make the team lose, especially when it's your first time in the team. Imagine, you know, I'm first time in the team, I'm with like all these big champions, and I shoot 152, and the team loses because of me. That's so I didn't have that pressure being the alternate.
Yeah.
Which I believe is really helpful.
Yeah.
So we went to England, started shooting over there, shot the pretty decent. I shot 97, finished third overall, shot decent the other event, struggled a bit in the main, shot some station good, some station I was struggling. I think I was kind of trying to overdo things, more than just letting it happen. But in the team, we got great results. I think that's pretty fun because, so Karen and Gavin and Joe, were practicing at Rock Creek. So Joe finished, junior champion. Karen finished ladies champion. Gavin, I believe, finished in the top 10. So I was like, well, it worked out for all the people that practice at the club except me.
Yeah.
So that was cool to see. Then we went straight to Hungary, went and practiced a day or so at Jerry Tamás club, which was awesome. And, you know, I was like, okay, I'm part of the team. I'm the alternate. My goal is to try to prove to myself that I deserve one of the spot in that team, alternate or not. But you know that I'm not gonna be the last one in terms of score. I'm gonna try my best to sink in and be with the other ones, because you know when you've got these guys on the team, I think on my end that was a pretty big goal.
All right.
So, started, shot the first day, shot pretty good, shot 47 on the first day, then second day shot 46, and targets were monster. But you know, there's some stuff that we shot at Rock Creek. So I was like I was not like intimidated. I was more like, okay, that's what I need to do. So sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't, but it worked more than it didn't. And so after 2 days, you know, I didn't want to look at the scores, you know, not to add more pressure. And then we were traveling with my travel buddy, as always, with Mike D'Anda. And so we were like coming, shooting, leaving to avoid being, you know, too polluted by, hey, that's a hot target here. That's a hot style. Oh, that's, you've seen that, you know, you know how it is at shoots.
Right.
And so it worked pretty well, and I knew my 93 was pretty strong because I don't think I left that many out there. But I didn't want to know. I had a feeling that I would be probably in the top 10, 15, but I was actually second, tied for second.
Wow.
And then comes this third day, and I was feeling good, etc. Still not knowing about the score, and this German guy in my squad, super nice guy, first big shoot, and he called and said, "Man, second of all, you're killing it." I'm like, "Shit."
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, "Shit, that's what I didn't want."
Yeah.
Because so I'm trying to, you know, evacuate that. And I come, and he tells me that like 2 minutes before we start our first parkour of the day on the third day.
Mm.
I'm like, "Shoot, that's going to be, you know, try to not think about it." And of course, you know, then you get slightly on the defensive mode. Let me tell you, on those big targets, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So start my first parkour, first peg, drop two, which were pretty easy. And I'm like, okay, now I missed two easy ones. And that's one of the hardest parkour because, you know, even though you don't want to hear it, people talk. So I'm like, okay, now it's going to be kind of a struggle. I'm still able to shoot 21, which is pretty good because that was a very hard layout that was on game ball. And second parkour, same. I do the same. Miss three the target. And then bit of pressure. Miss three on my first peg. Finish on 20. So I shot 41 on two of the toughest layouts, probably the hardest day for everybody. And now I know that I'm back down in the ranking. I'm like, you know, great. You know, I was not I think it worked out not pretty well, not knowing the scores, But now, you know, obviously with 1,000 people out there, at one point I'll bump into somebody who's going to tell me the score. So I say, you know, now I'm just going to look at it and, you know, we'll see. So I look, I see I'm down to 15th. And I'm like, okay, if I want to give it a shot, I need to shoot something close to 50 straight tomorrow because, you know, obviously George is already leading, so nobody's going to catch up because that's George.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll see what happens. So I'm like, okay, I'm going for 50 straight. And when I have the knife right on my throat, that's usually where I shoot the best. And so I shot 25 and 23. 23 on a pretty tough layout as well. So shot 48, was happy about it. So shot in the morning, so we had to wait the whole day for all the results, etc. So went back to the house, kind of playing in the swimming pool with my son, etc. And I ended up being in a shoot-off for third overall with two huge champion and competitors. Christophe Auvray, good friend of mine, is actually the guy that I started shooting with back 9 years ago, mm-hmm. in France. So he's won the World FITAS Championship twice when it was in France.
Yeah.
And Phil Gray, very good friend of mine, who actually set Fujairah targets in January. But, I mean, he's been in the Super Final the week before at Churchill. He's been in the Super Final in Dubai. So the guy is, and he's been preparing for that FITAS, World FITAS Championship that he wanted to win. So I'm like, you know, whatever happens, I'm already above any goal, any expectation I could have. So I'm already top five at the World FITAS Championship. So that's it. If it's better, it's better. Mm-hmm. If I stay fifth, it's awesome. I'm really happy about it anyways. So then we started the shoot-off, and there's so many people watching, and I start, and I don't think I have much pressure. I believe probably Christophe and Phil want the win more than I do because, you know, they've know what the podiums are at the World Championship in there, and that's really their goal. When for me, my goal was already achieved. It was only bonus, whatever could happen.
Right.
And so I felt pretty relaxed about it, maybe, you know, putting myself in that mental position. And, you know, it went pretty well. On the last peg, I'm first up. Christophe is, I believe, I'm down three. Christophe is down four. And Phil is down three. And so I start shooting, and there's a huge batu, probably about 65 yards, full speed. And I miss it. And Phil shoots, misses it. Christophe shoots, misses it. So we're still, I'm tied with Phil. Christophe is one target behind. But I had a feeling that they would miss it where I missed it, if they would miss it. And I look, and we were actually not seeing because of the terrain, you know, when it's hilly, et cetera, it's hard to see the lines. Mm-hmm. And we're actually all missing that target under. And so they shoot, and the pairs are pretty big pairs. So Phil missed, I believe, three. Christophe missed two. And I come, and I feel very comfortable because I hit them, all those four birds in my single, and that bird that nobody hit, I saw where we all missed it. Mm-hmm. And so I kill all four birds, and so I finished with 21, and Christophe and Phil were on 18. So that was intense emotion, because I didn't expect that, to be honest. You know, on the paper, I was definitely not meant to win that. So
yeah, it's third place,
very
man.
Happy. Yeah, so third place overall. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, you know, hats off against to George.
Isn't that crazy? So, he's still leading the pack, man. How old is George now? Do you know?
I think he's just under 60. I don't know if he's 58 or 59. But on the podium, I've known George for quite a long time now. I'm like, George, when are you going to retire?
Yeah.
You're being annoying. And so he laughed. And I say, are you really going to be the only one who's going to win a world championship again when you're a super veteran? Because it's starting to be a bit odd. So he laughed, but I mean, he's a huge champion. And you know, if you're in the lead, I believe you can still win.
Yeah.
But if he's in the lead, nobody's going to catch up. You can be Christopher Ray. You can be Gael Ponceau, who finished second. You can be Anthony Maris, whoever you want. If he's in the lead, he's a tough animal.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable. I don't know what that is. 20, upper 20s, whatever that is now for George. That's crazy. You know, I saw that and I said, I can't believe. I mean, he won the World English when it was here last year. You know,
yeah.
And then he
but what you saw in the super final there, and what you saw on his last day at the World Fitness when he was in the lead, he's got as much pressure as you and me going practicing together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
So that makes it easier, you know, plus the talent and I'd say the target presentation libraries he has. It isn't catchable.
Yeah. There won't ever be anybody do what he's done, I don't think.
No.
I mean, it's...
I don't think in any sport.
No. Nothing. That's just unbelievable. So, if he listens, I know he listens sometimes. Congrats, George. I'll tell you another cool stat that I found out about you is, and this came out just a few days ago, is that you're now ranked 32nd in the world, which, you know, 32nd, okay. That's not 1 or 2 or 5 or 10. But dude, you've been shooting 9 years, and you're think about that for a second. 32nd in the world.
Yeah, that's exciting, and as I say, you know, the FITASC ranking and the World FITASC is definitely the where all the countries and all the top athletes try to perform. So it's hard to get your little spot out there. And very very honored, very fortunate, and. It's exciting. But you know, after that, you want more, right?
That's right. That's what I was going to say. What's next? I mean, you know, does that you know finishing third in the World FITASC? Do you feel like that may have took a little pressure off of you at other tournaments? You know what I mean? Like, is it like I can do this now, or does it add more pressure? I don't know.
No, there's so first of all, you know. When you switch gun after having shot for 8 years the same gun, it takes a bit to get used to it. You know, obviously the gun feels awesome right now, but I know people say, "Oh, you know, I don't shoot a lot. I don't shoot a lot. I shoot 3,000." I'm going to tell you the truth. Between the moment I switch on November 1st, so the day after nationals.
Mm-hmm.
Until now, I shot 35,000 rounds through that gun.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, because I want, first, I didn't want to, you know, I'm switching gun. So I want to show that Colin made the right choice in welcoming me. I don't want to be like, hey, thank you for welcoming me in the team. I shoot in the mid 60s. You know what I mean? So first that. And plus, being Team USA, I want to represent my country the best I can.
Yeah.
And so I need to put the effort into that. I've never shot that much. I mean, within 8 months, 35,000, it's like you shoot, even when you, I mean, practice becomes something you don't like. You just practice because you want to win. You don't practice because you have fun. You don't practice because you enjoy it. You practice because you want to be better.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it worked. Now the gun feels extremely good. It shoots exactly where I want. And you know, I was lucky as well that being in Europe, I was able to shoot BNPs, which are the equivalent of what we shoot here. That's the BNP flash, mm-hmm. F2 flash when we shoot the F2 Mac. Shooting a shell that you and that shoots the same as the one you have home. It's incredible because yeah. now you don't have to, you have no second thought when you pull the trigger.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
yeah. I know that's
so that was very important. Yeah.
Yeah. So now you're back and I know you've been out today with the family. You're going to the Western Regional. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a first out there, isn't it?
The first time out there, I think, you know, Arizona or Vegas do a great job in the desert,
mm-hmm.
but I think people are kind of excited to see what's out of the desert for the Western Regionals. First time for them hosting a big shoot like that. I'm excited to see what they come up with. I've shot at Colorado State back a few years ago, pretty flat. So that's definitely not going to be the terrain we have here at Rock Creek, but I think they can do a good job. So looking forward to it. The weather is not going to be that great as of now on my weather forecast. I see rain almost every day. So, yeah. So we'll see. But excited and you know, I was saying that. You practice, you don't like practicing, but the fire is still here when you compete, though.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And same, Ethan is going to shoot as well with me. So that's going to be fun. And my traveling buddy, Mike, as well. So that's going to be interesting to see what they have out there.
Let me ask you this. You might not know this right offhand. What gun clubs have you not been to that you want to go to?
That's.
I know you've been to almost all of them. Seriously, like
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care anywhere in the world. Where do you want to go that you haven't been? Australia.
I've never been to Australia. I'd like to do that. They have also quite a few shoots every year. I mean, not every year, but on a regular basis. Like especially compact sporting, which is one of the FITAS disciplines, kind of our five stand. They have some in South Africa. I'd love to go there.
Mm. Isn't that place dangerous? Beginning of,
yeah, no. I really, you know, when you hear people talk about it, etc., it looks a lot of fun. Plus, yeah. Usually as a practice, instead of shooting targets, they go and they shoot pigeons, so which is also fun.
Yeah.
I'd like to... I'm excited for the World FITAS in 2 years in Cyprus. I've never shot there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're debating, but we may go with the family taking a vacation in February in Thailand. They have 3 FITAS Grand Prix back-to-back. And I'd like to see, you know, my wife and I and the kids have lived in Asia for 7 years in Vietnam. We've been to Thailand a lot. So we've got friends, etc. there. So that would be a good thing to meet them out there and see everybody again. So, yeah, still some plans, still traveling a lot. But, yeah, that's what's cool about that shooting community and that and competing all around the world.
Yep. That's right. Good community, good group of people. That's for sure. Always welcoming whenever you go somewhere and they're there, you know.
Definitely.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate your time. I wanted to get with you because I'm proud of you for finishing third at World FITAS, and I think you're there, or you're getting there if you're not. You're getting
thank
there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure being with you on the podcast. And, you know, a special mention to all my Team USA members and teammates. They've done a great job, and we've got a lot of titles, a lot of medals, team and individual. So congrats to you all. That was awesome being part of that great group of people. Yep. I'm very proud and honored.
All right. Well, hey, I know I'll see you soon. I'll be at North Central Regional.
North Central. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll
Northbrook.
Yeah. I'll see you there in a few weeks and we'll catch up and good luck at the Western.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Justin. Have a great evening and always a pleasure being with you.
All right, Nick. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening. For more episodes, go to our website, shotgunsportsusa.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook.